Zion Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Zion Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is April 26. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, folks, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Now, remember, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally on YouTube and on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. It isn't cheap. And I will tell you, folks, that, you know, when I first started, everybody always calls me and says, well, I heard your podcast. Well, of course, it goes to podcast later, but that's just something I used to call radio archives. After all, I've been on radio since 2001, and it was a few years before I even heard the word podcast. You know, but we always recorded the live program and put them up on the internet as a radio archive. So that's to me what it is. A podcast just sounds like a foreign word to me. But anyway, remember, these are live programs and airtime does cost. And it also does cost to use the podcast thing that we use, as does internet and everything else. We sell nothing on this program. So pray about it. We're only on the air because you're kind donations. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Cape Town, South Africa, Vienna, Australia, Iran, Espoo, Finland, Sydney, Australia, and, of course, cities in the good old United States such as San Francisco, California, Corpus Christi, Texas, San Jose, California, Lexington, Kentucky, Omaha, Nebraska, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which still remains as large a group of listeners to our radio programs when they go to podcast later on tonight. And so, yeah, we are a national satellite radio program, simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube, FM stations, and so pray about it. Anyway, now back to that. Also follow us on Twitter, which is, you go find me, how? Well, Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch 77. And then when you locate us and you follow us on Twitter, do us a favor. Spread our things around, because we have found that the more people that we get on Twitter, then it reflects into more people visiting the website. So that's another way that you can help out. Anyway, now prayer, and we'll get on with tonight's program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I really pray radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine, Father. Give me the right ears, right words to say, and please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. Lift the veil from their eyes and their ears and their heart, Father. In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, last week when I, give me a second here. I had a little frog there. Anyway, last week with my wife was on with me, and by the way, she told me she can't wait to come back on next week. I think she's turning into a She says, well, you're trying to turn me into a radio star. Well, I'm not trying to turn her into anything, but, you know, she's just, she's fun to have on with me, and that way it helps me relate the Mission Church to you and other things. And it's good to have a woman's point of view. Believe me, I wouldn't, she is my toughest student, which means if I can prove it to her, then I can prove it to the world. So, amen. Consider that. And so I appreciate all you lovely ladies out there. And husbands, yeah, I feel sorry for all of you. No, I'm joking, of course. But anyway, let's get to this. Last week with my wife, we were talking about 2 Timothy, and we used the King James Version. 2 Timothy, and I'll read this real quick. This know also that in the last day perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good. Boy, isn't that the truth? Despisers of those that are good and things that are truthful? Wow. Anyway, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For this sort, they which creep into houses that lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with different lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, I think we made it as far as verse 5, and that is where I'm really just going to go now. And this can be taken several different ways. But I do have something on my mind. The church today should have incredible power, but it seeks to get power from the state and from their own devices, such as lavish praise and worship. And folks, if you think that I'm joking about the praise and worship, I just saw a church in Atlanta today that, man, I watched it. They're now said that to the regular service, they're going to have aerial displays, and it showed this young woman climbing up one of those acrobatic pieces of material dangling and down and really a short costume and spinning around and everything. Really? Really? That's praise and worship? I mean, you know, come on. You know, I just don't get it. You know, people have lost it. And see, that's why the church acts like they lack the power, because they act like they have no need of God. They can do it all. Anyway, and they bribe to get people to come with these lavish things and tennis courts and bowling alleys and other things right inside the church, even small coffee shops. Now, there's nothing wrong with drinking coffee while you're in the church. That isn't my point. But it's hangout centers to draw people to the church, when what should draw people is the spirit and the message. Okay. Anyway, while this is good, it's not what the body's supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be taking care of people with your money that they give them. They're supposed to be taking care of people and spreading the gospel, not waiting for people to come in the door, but going out into the street among the poor and the destitute and helping them out and trying to bring them to Christ and change their life. It does seem that the smaller the church, the closer they really are to the Father and Son. Of course, not again in all cases, but I'm saying this is what the majority is, and so that's just what we'll have to live with. For one, the church is supposed to speak out against sin. When was the last time your church spoke out against sin? And I'm not telling you that you should leave the church, but that you should witness to your church, because the Father probably put you there for a reason. So if you're in there and you're waking up, why don't you try speaking to the pastor and to the congregations? Get a voice. That's what the church needs to do. Anyway, the church did not speak up loudly enough. If they had, why not? We could use peaceful protest. Everybody else is. And it is silent for the most part. While the church was silent, it became a human right for abortion. Really? That is just, it's just sick. Sick, sick, sick. Listen to this. I want to give you a testimony of a nurse. And this nurse says this. She's really upset about it. Anyway, this child was born alive, and to prevent it from crying, the doctor quickly covered its face, and the child was taken to a side room. I was able to find that there was no apparent defect. He struggled to breathe, and he had some slight gestures. He was fully formed, had eyelashes, hairs, nails. the doctor came in and asked me if he was still breathing, or else I would, or else we would make an injection for that to be resolved. 5 minutes later, he came back in and grabbed a syringe because the baby was still alive. He then pierced the baby's heart. The child, during the injection, removed all of its members. In other words, it was in pain. I do not know what that meant, but perhaps he suffered, she said. The little boy lived lived a quarter of an hour later. That means 15 minutes in agony. The medical team told the parents of the child that he was stillborn, alive. This is why we don't want him to cry at birth. It would be too traumatic for them. What shocked me personally is the cold-blooded doctor, the head of the department, had injected the child in the heart. The fact that the child was alive was a problem needed to be addressed, and it never was contemplated at all to tell the parents that this child was still alive. Okay. Now, I mean, so really think about it. It has became, while the church was silent in America, it became a human right, it seems, for abortion. Women talk about their bodies. They should be talking about their bodies before they have sex, not afterwards, and they seemingly make a mistake. Think about what I mean. Really think about it. A right to murder a baby, a life, and people have grown so used to it. Well, it's no big deal to me, or it's really bad, but they don't speak up all the while. Does it really hit your heart? Do you understand what's going on? According to an organization called WHO, every year in the world, there are an estimated 40 to 50 million abortions. America funds many of those. This corresponds to approximately 125,000 abortions per day in the United States of America, where there are nearly 500,000 pregnancies are unintended and 4 in 10 of these are terminated by abortions. There are over 3,000 abortions per day. 3,000 abortions a day. Wow. You know, people say, well, we should do something. Why aren't we speaking up against that? These are basically sacrifices to the devil. Anyway, let me continue on. Anyway, Psalms 127:3-5 says, and it's King James Version, of course, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them, and they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Children are regarded as a blessing. And what? They are murdered because people love reckless pleasure." Remember that? We read that a while ago. They're more into their own pleasures than lovers of God. I mean, come on. This is the way it is. And this is against the Father's way. Matthew 18:10 says, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones." This is what Yeshua said. "For I say unto you, in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Now, what do you think that these little ones are alive in the womb? And many, even with the late-term abortions, which I just talked to you about, come out, and don't you get that the Father hears their cries? Do you think that he doesn't? The crying of that child as he was stabbed in the heart, and do you think that the Father did not hear that? Do you think that America will not be punished for this and all else in the world who partake of this? Again, right here in your wonderful country, 125,000 a day are being sacrificed to the devil on the altar of lust. You think about that. I mean, it's so, so horrific. Look, let me give you another example. This is from a doctor gave this shocking revelation that the head of the generics departments ordered babies in the third trimester to be aborted alive so that their brain tissue could be fresh for research. He spoke to a nurse and expressed his disgust at emphasizing, again, I see this young woman, the nurse, gaze into space, saying, it is true that sometimes there's a little murder among friends. And she tells me a case where the baby had time to scream before hastily being brought into the next room. These cases are not uncommon and are dramatic because the mother hears her child. And the moment she realizes he is alive, the child is being killed. What made her uncomfortable is that three doctors, an anesthesiologist, an obstetrician, and a pediatrician, took an hour to kill a newborn. An hour. Because as it was alive, the child struggled vigorously, and they could not give him the lethal injection. Now, here, let's go on. Here's another part of the testimony. But listen to that. Wow, okay, let's go on. I want to testify, this is a nurse, anesthesiology nurse. I want to testify to emphasize, not that we've actually killed a newborn of 28 weeks, but worse. We have not had humanity come to his aid. The young mother was an HIV-positive drug addict who discovered her pregnancy late. Gynecologists convinced her to abort her baby, but the baby was born alive. Midlife simply put it in an empty box, naked in a stainless steel tub, cold, without any care. His mother was conscious during labor and delivery of the baby, and she was crying and wanted to see her little one, but the doctors decided that the child should die. They did not give the child to the mother to spare her. This baby was viable. He was breathing on his own and cried vigorously. I honestly think it was just left to die of cold. Why do they fight to save some premature babies and giving others death? Wow, here's one from a midwife. Says another doctor gave an epidural injection to a woman who was having an abortion at 6 months. Not wanting to witness the actual explosion of the baby, she left the room but came back later and encountered a midwife. And he says, she was nervous and uncomfortable. The midwife told me how quickly the gynecologist had ended the life of the child in the womb, making an ultrasound location, injecting the product to make the child's heart stop beating. Then the vaginal delivery was induced. By the time the child came out, the midwife was alone. When the child was completely out, he cried. He was alive. The midwife told how she was seized and choked the child's cries with her hand and hurried out of the room so the parents could not hear the child. After several maneuvers, they killed the child. Really? Are you listening to this? This is murder. Where do they get the right to murder children? And it goes back to that. What did Yeshua said? Yeshua says, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. These children were alive. You think they're not telling the Father? You think he's not hearing their screams? How much longer do you think this can go on? And how much longer, once that you know the truth that, and you remain silent, do you think that this can go on? Because we bear responsibility for the things that we know about, and we should do something about it. Which, it goes back to the church. I'm laying this at the church. You know, that's called the assembly, the body of Messiah. The body of Messiah, this is at your feet in America because you took on the 501(c) and decided to be politically correct so you could chase after riches, so you could get that magic number that gives you donations and you don't have to pay taxes on it. Well, if you're a church, you don't have to pay taxes anyway. And what was this? Who founded this country anyway? It was a bunch of Christian men and women. Let's not leave the women out of this picture because, you know, and that's the great thing about the women. Women, you know what? Women, you have a big responsibility. You're supposed to be teaching your women, your other women, but you're supposed to be teaching your children. That's where that responsibility lies. Men, you're supposed to be out there working. And I'm not condemning a woman who has to work in this day and age, but I'm telling you the order of things which it was made. The men were supposed to go to work, and the women were supposed to teach the children and bring them up in a way. And, of course, the father contributed, but the main part of that comes from the mother. Absolutely. Then, you know, I told my sons when they were growing up, I said, don't listen, you get all that mama love that you can because you need to get that mama love. And my wife, by giving my children that compassionate love, and boy, always take up for him. You know what I mean? She's just always right there to take up for him. But anyway, but the point is women and you're so important. And hear the cry of these children. Hear the cry of these children. So men and women of God, you need to stand up. I'm not saying run from a church that you're in or a group, but find your voice. Speak up, because that is what the word says. Whatever gave you the idea that Christianity, you're supposed to be complicit and just sit down and do nothing, then that's just insanity. That isn't what Christianity is or is all about. It just isn't that way. But they have made it that way and kept you silent. And they've lulled so many of you to sleep with these lavish shows. Like, if you go look on the pastor's page, you go to prophecyhour.com and you go to the pastor's page, I sent you a link, I'm pretty sure, to that Atlanta worship thing. That's just crazy. It looks like a circus. What? And, you know, I got a buddy that says that the original word for the church word, not the biblical meaning, but church also means circus. I don't know about that. But that's what this thing looks like. How does that please the Father? We're supposed to be honest praise and worship that comes from your heart. He doesn't need lavish praise and worship that to get your mind off God. Oh, boy, that was a good entertainment show. Let's go back next week. And you go once a week to an entertainment show without hearing the Word of God and out being preached to about sin. Well, folks, we're going to get ready to go to a break, but go visit prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Find the archives over there and share them with other people. And we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Massage Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, I pray you was tuned in to the first part of the program, and I am going to get into a second part of this program, but we are going to have a song first, because this song is really important, and I want you to listen to it. Go on with this, and that's Frank's cue.
Evil days are numbered, so get can do your job well. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls. That was on my heart. Now don't forget we haven't much time. The vineyard tribes, the field is wide, the workers are few, and the harvest time is now in its prime. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short.
Well, folks, that I have a little album of those songs. They were made back in the 90s by a fellow by the name of Brother Ben. I've been trying to get a hold of him, but anyway, he sent me a tape one time. And he said, use these songs for your ministry, you know, to help your ministry. And so I play them every once in a while. But really pay attention to that song. It really shows the time that we're in. Okay, let's go. Now, we talked about abortion, but let's talk about something else. We're going to talk about, you know, the Bible has been under assault recently, and we are going, and right now I want to read you a little article, and it comes from the California Family Council. And this article says the Bible under assault, and then I'll give you what I got to say about it in a little bit. Anyway, here it starts. The Bible has been the subject of a lot of news lately. The editors at GQ magazine recently published a piece called 21 Books You Don't Have to Read. You guessed it. The editors at GQ put the Bible as number 12 on the list, claiming that it's a repetitive, self-contradictory, statacious, foolish, and even at times an ill-intentioned book. They also said it's certainly not the finest thing that's ever been produced. And that's a pretty bold claim coming from a magazine about best-selling books in history, the one that predates the magazine's existence by literally thousands of years. These statements expressed by the editors at GQ aren't just harmless words. Their opinions represent disdain for truth, morality, and virtue. The Bible, and think about that, folks, for a second. The assault on the Bible. There's assault on Christianity, and because the church has been silent, this has been allowed to go along. California's a perfect example. If they had their way, most of them, they'd put Christians to death. I truly believe that. The Bible, and some of them have said it. The Bible is certainly under assault going on with the article. But it is not just a couple of editors at G2 or GQ that are struggling with a better way to display their creative genius than to throw the Bible into a vast waste of your time list. Now, here is what I wanted to point out to you. The California State Assembly just passed AB 2943. Now, you can go to the pastor's page, and I have a copy. There's pretty sure there's a copy of that bill over there and some articles about this. With 80 yes votes to 18 no votes, it's a bill that bans the sale of goods and services that offer to or engage in sexual orientation change efforts, which are defined to include efforts to change behaviors or gender expressions or to eliminate or reduce sexual or romantic attractions or feelings towards individuals of what? Did you guess it yet? The same sex. Ben Shapiro said AB 2943 is tyranny coming to in the guise of a happy face. He also stated this incredibly that the Supreme Court would uphold such an outrageous attack on the First Amendment expression. AB 2943 is censorship. It's that simple. It's that scary. The state of California has no right to decide what what educational materials or services an individual may or may not pursue for their own health and well-being. The Assembly has just expressed its approval for a proposed law that will cut the First Amendment freedoms out from each and every taxpayer. More specifically, AB 2943 is an assault on the Bible. While the language of AB 2943 doesn't specifically reference the Bible, it also doesn't make an exclusion for it in the goods or services that are offended or entangled in. The phrasing opens up many questions. If this bill becomes law, can a pastor be banned from teaching a biblical view of sexuality from the pulpit? Other articles say yes. Can the sale of the Bible be banned? Other articles and analysis say yes. There are many more questions similar to this bill that does not specifically address. So the wording that the bill does is certainly enough for apprehension. According to the LA Times, an analysis by the Assembly Judiciary Committee says the bill would apply only to services that purport to change a person's sexual orientation offered on a commercial basis, as well as the advertising and offering of such services. You make an offering at church, that's buying it. A pastor couldn't have a seminar or any of those things talking about it. A Bible, you go in, you buy it at a store, that's commercial basis, so the Bible technically couldn't be sold because it's the number one place that says what? It says that it's an abomination for same sex. You got it? Okay. The bill, while they say it isn't, remember, these folks lie. They try to bring something in stealth and say, here's the law to back it up. This is what's going on in your country while you're asleep. While you watched Hollywood, this is what happened to you. The bill's language still leaves the door wide open. However, AB 2943 wants enforcement with no option but compliance. No room for dissident, that means talk. The next step is to punish people who would not abide by such a law. To put it simply, says Jim Daly, the president of Focus on the Family, Christian schools, churches, and others who hold a traditional understanding of marriage and sexuality would be open to lawsuits for teaching biblical truth about homosexuality or transgenderism, which both the Bible says is an abomination. For it's an abomination for a man to wear woman's clothing and vice versa. That's talking about these things. Now, you shouldn't do it. It makes no sense that lawmakers within the state assembly want to limit the resources available to people seeking answers to difficult questions. It's preposterous that a law is being proposed to ban resources or services that have brought satisfaction, contentment, and happiness to so many people. Now, you know, I'm sending this right now over to the pastor's page where you can have a look at what I just read, as is my normal thing. And there's also a legal analysis over there. And right here, I'll just give you a part of it. It says this, censorship is staggering under AB 2943. A licensed counselor could not help a married mother of three who has experienced unwanted attraction to a close female friend or confusion over gender identity to overcome these feelings. She couldn't seek counseling. A religious ministry could not hold a conference on maintaining sexual purity if the conference encourages attendees to avoid homosexual behavior. A bookstore, including online bookstores like Amazon, could not sell many recently published books challenging gender identity, ideology, and advocating that these beliefs should be rejected by society. A pastor that's paid to speak at an event addressing current social topics could not encourage attendees that they can prevail over same-sex desires or feelings, or that they were born in the wrong sex. They're trying to shut you up. If they succeed in this, that's what they want. That's the left. That's communism. What planet are people coming from? Don't you get it? That's a stop to freedom of speech. You're supposed to get everything in America, but they want to shut you up. Why do they want to shut you up? The reason they want to shut you up is because they want to shut up truth. Remember when we was reading that thing a while? It said despisers of those things that are good. They want to get rid of the Bible. They want to outlaw it. And even if in the Bible, let's say they didn't outlaw the Bible, maybe you could get away with just giving them away, which is the best way. But, you know, where are you going to get a Bible for free? I mean, you know, yeah, we do give away Bibles for free. We get them donated. But somewhere along the path, somebody paid the publisher. You get it? You know, and yeah, we still need King James Version Bibles. And one day I'm going to get somebody on here that can talk to us about the different Bible versions. But move right along with that. This is just getting crazy. I mean, just like now, the Boy Scouts, oh, now we're letting in females. Really? You know, boys won't act the same. That's at an age where they're just coming to puberty and so on and so forth. And so men have a natural tendency to want to show off for women. They don't necessarily do the things they normally do when there are women around. That's just a fact. That's the way God made us. Our Father made us this way. So, really? You let these in them, and so the men don't act different. And you have girls here. Girls should be in a girl thing, teaching them to be young ladies. You know, women, I'm sorry, but the Bible says that you have your place. Men, you have your place. He made us different for a reason. And then we're supposed to fit together with our helpmate, which makes us our other half. I couldn't function without my wife properly. But she's my other half. She has things that she does that she's great at that I can't touch it with a 10-foot pole. And I have things that I do that because I'm a man that I do that she doesn't accomplish it. But together we have a family. We have grandchildren. We have a mission. We don't have the mission church. The Father has a mission church. But you understand what I'm talking about? Do you understand? And so the devil wants to upset all this thing. He wants to up-tip the apple cart. And you know what? The church is being silent and letting him. And in a lot of cases, these churches are simply going along with it. Are simply going along with it, to be politically correct. You know, I don't know if America is Mystery Babylon or not. But there is strong argument, if you look below the surface, that it is. Look at all these murders of children that we are promoting across the world. We're getting worse every day. You realize what would happen if Democrats take power again? Seriously, all these things that we're talking about are ready for fruition with them. Let's look at their hatred. That's one thing that Trump did do, is he exposed these things. They exposed these things. So, you know, look around. You can tell what to do. Now, maybe you don't have a voice and whatever, but you should support the people that are fighting the battle. We can't fight the battle without help. And let's talk about radio for a minute. You know, I'm sitting in a room in my office, in the radio office, and around me is light. Everything in here is being run by electricity. In fact, I had to turn on the air conditioner because it was too hot in here with everything shut up, so I shut out the outside noise. Electricity, that costs money. I'm looking at three different screens in order to do this program. They cost money. I had to buy at least two of them. The other two were donated, thank the Father. But it came from donations. You know, I work in the ministry 24/7. Yeah, I have a little bit of a personal income. My personal income goes into the ministry. Like, you know, 75% of it at least or more. Sometimes all of it. Because I do whatever it takes to keep the mission church going. Because that is my life. It is my wife's life. It's our family's life. That's what we do. We are serving the Father. How do we serve the Father? By serving others. How do we serve Him? By serving others. Well, you know, we do that, sure, with the homeless and poor. We'll talk about that in a minute, but I am in His service right now. I'm trying the best that I can do to wake you up and give you the truth. I don't know. You know, there's at some point, if this continues on, they will try to censor my voice. But I'm willing to take that chance and opportunity, and we put our life in the hands of the Father so that because we love Him and we want to warn the people. Because you know what? That's what the Bible says. It doesn't say sit down and be complicit allow everything to go on around you, and don't tempt the Lord by doing it yourself. It's his battle. Well, he uses people. Yes, he has a battle, but he uses people. He expects you to speak up against evil. You're not supposed to just let it go on. Just like it talks about in James chapter 2, and I'm going to paraphrase, but it talks about when you give somebody, you see somebody in need of something. You have the way to fulfill that need, but yet instead you just sit there and pray on them and say, okay, brother, be warm and blessed, and I pray that you get that thing, but you have that thing right there able to give it to them. Why don't you give it to them? Because you have to have 20 coats or 20 pairs of gloves, or you have an ice box overwhelming with food, but yet the guy just down the street has nothing. That's not the way that we're supposed to function. We're called the body of Messiah for a reason. Some are fingers, some are toes, some are arms. We're supposed to fit tightly together, one helping another. That's what it's supposed to be about. Not building these castles built to greed, you know. There's nothing wrong with having a big church if you got a lot of people, but why do you have tennis courts in it? Why do you have a bowling alley? What's that got to do with the gospel? You know, explain that to me. When there's people out, this one church that I'm speaking about, now I don't know I haven't been in them lately, but I do know they have all these things, but yet they're not far from us, they're in one of the poorest parts of town. And, you know, shouldn't they be outreaching and feeding every week over there? You know, I don't know. People say, well, we've got programs. You know, we send people to Mexico and build houses. Well, I'm glad that you do. Amen. It's a good thing. Have you built any house for the homeless and poor that are out there on the street? Have you went out there and fed any today? Did you share them the gospel? Did you ask them if they needed a Bible? Simply put, did you go out there? Did you send people out there and see if they wanted to come into your church? You know, a lot of churches, and it tells you not to treat the poor any different than the others that come into the church, but there's a lot of churches. Some of them I know even bus people to their service on Sunday morning, and you know what they do then? Then they herd them into a special part of the church, won't let them make contact with the regular people there, and as soon as they're done, they put them on a bus and take them back out, and they say, oh, look what we did. Really? The Bible specifically says not to do that. That's being a respecter of persons. So, you know, hey, I'm not by far perfect in any way, shape, or form, nor do I claim to be. That's why I had to have Yeshua HaMashiach, because I'm a mess. I am a mess. There it is. I'm a repented sinner. I'm a mess. I'll never be completely right until Yeshua comes, and prayerfully I am saved. I believe that I'm saved. But, you know, that's when I'll be like him. Until then, I'm just a human being struggling to do the right thing. But I've been covered in the blood by Yeshua HaMashiach as long as I do the things that are right. You know, we are supposed to try our most, very, very best to please him. And it says, be ye holy. Because he is holy. How do you be holy? That's sanctified, set apart. Well, keeping the Sabbath one way, but just keeping his word. How long do you study the word? Do you study the word? Do you share it? Anyway, so, coming up, we're getting close to the end of the program, so I guess I better talk about the mission church for a minute. Okay, well, let's go with this. You know, recently, you know, we've been talking about donations. We talked about them last week with my wife on here. You know, we are in a slump. we are in a slump right now. And, of course, I believe that it'll be better by the middle of summer. And we're starting to see some better. You know, a few of our old people that have donated forever have started to increase their donations. You know, we're really not up where we need to be, just like tomorrow. You know, I've got to go to the store before I can make... I'm going to make spaghetti tomorrow, you know, with peppers and onions and all kinds of wonderful things in it, you know, because I go all out when I make. I just don't serve them a meal. I make sure they get something. And see, I'm not a respecter of persons. Oh, I can open a can of tomato sauce. Well, really, I wouldn't just feed a can of tomato sauce and let, well, I have to my family, but you know what I mean. I make it good. So anyway, tomorrow it's going to take $50-$60 to make a meal for could be anywhere from 60 to 80 people. And it's going to take about $50. You know, I'm buying, I could do much better. Like now there's a meat sale on in Wichita. If I could buy $100 worth of meat instead of buying for one meal, do you get my point? So really could use your donations. I've had several new since last week, and I want to thank you folks out there that donated. That I've never seen your name come up before, and you made a donation, so I really, really appreciate that. I'm really thankful for it. But that's what we need. Because, you know, we're being politically correct, and so no churches really help us out. And, you know, it's a very hard ministry to get donations for. As my wife and I both say, all donations, what size helps? All donations. You know, that's $5, $10, $100. We had a $500 donation come in last week, and it was really needed, and it went, and you know, it just went for great. It really, really helped us out. We've had several new donations, like I said. That was the largest one. So all donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Well, your heart. That's what I always say. If you've been listening to this program very long, you know I'll say that. The ones that come from your heart. Meaning giving because it's the right thing to do to help the body of Messiah. Giving without expectation of something being coming back. You know? And so pray about it. You know, we really, really need your help. You folks out there now, you're listening to radio. So I pray that you would share these radio programs in every way possible you can. The more listeners we get, the better off we are. And we're not trying to get rich. We just want to provide for the people that the Father sends to our building. We want to be able to pay for radio on time so the studio has their money on time. Right now, I'm paying behind every month. It comes its first month, and I'm paying behind. You know, right now, I'm even for this month, but we've got a new month coming next week. I need the money to pay airtime. So if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free. Donations is what keeps us on the air, and it always has. And, you know, for the record, we've been doing radio since 2001. How many people do you know have been on radio that long? You know, how many people, we're getting ready to start our 19th year of Wichita Mission Church. And so, you know, so pray about it. We need your help. Father uses people. He doesn't just make money magically appear, you know, outside your doorstep. He uses a person to donate that money. So pray about it. Now, you can donate online or mail a check or money order, and people say, well, what about PayPal? You know, PayPal, I have used them since 1999, and I have never had my number misused or anybody that has been donating all that time ever had a problem with it. So it's pretty safe. But, you know, you can mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's at prophecyhour.com. So pray about it. Make a donation. If you can tonight, it would be real helpful for tomorrow as I go to the store. But, folks, above all, this is all about salvation. Remember, there is only one God, and He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach, and He gave His life for our repented sins, and He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through Him, and only through Him, is the way of the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Messiah's return, because there will never be absolute peace until Yeshua walks the earth. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that, Father, that You would bless and keep them, and that Your face would shine upon them, and that You would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.